Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and we are listening to just some exciting stories about missions. And in the studio today is Pastor Ken Keltner. He's been with us the last couple of times. Pastor Ken, God has just really given you some great opportunities to have a ministry around the world. What is it you'd like to share with us today?
Well, again, I'm focused on missions here through March. And I think that I want my life to be focused on the mission. And I believe that at Brookside, we're starting to see some of our own young people look at full-time ministry, whether it be missions or vocational ministry. And I believe the reason for that is missions trips.
I agree.
I don't discount camp, but I believe the most important trips that a teenager can go on would be a missions trip. I worked with teens. I was a youth pastor for 18 years. And I couldn't take teens on enough missions trips. And it was amazing to see how God provided the funds for them. You know, adults, sometimes we can pour cold water on, oh, you got to come up with that. Man, well, if God provides, we'll send you. And we kind of chuckle to ourselves, man, they're trusting God for way too much. That's not going to happen. And I can tell story after story how God provided, and teens and youth groups went on a missions trip. We had one that went down to Hermosillo, Mexico. And I'm not too good with my Spanish, even though my wife teaches Spanish over at Heritage Christian. I'm not too good. I tell people I speak Bubba Spanish. You know what Bubba Spanish is, Pastor Greg?
No, I don't.
It goes like this, como usta usted.
Oh, and, okay.
So I kind of do the Bubba Spanish thing. But we got down there, and we're ministering in a church, and a fellow who played on the University of Sonora's basketball team. University of Sonora was located in Hermosillo. And he's a pretty good basketball player, and he knew I was coming down and knew, you know, we had some basketball experience. And so he himself lined up a basketball clinic for us to do at the University of Sonora.
Huh.
And so we went out and we brought things down to be able to give, you know, different contests, 3-point contests.
Sure.
And we're going to give out some prizes. And so he had about 25 of the college age guys that were there. And then we had probably about 50 high school guys. And it was men and women and boys and girls. And then probably about 40 to 50 junior high on down. And they gave us the main basketball center at the University of Sonora. Well, we went to the halfway point of it and we stopped and everybody got a candy bar and a Gatorade. And we got him on the floor, and I had a translator, again, another teenager,
mm-hmm.
by the name of Benji. His mom and dad were down there as missionaries. I just recently saw Benji, and he grew up in Mexico. And I walked in and sat next to him in a service, and he looked over and saw me. And first thing he said was, do you remember? And he was talking about this night, and I said, I'll never forget it. He goes, I'll never forget it. He goes, I grew up in Mexico, and this is number one story for me.
Good night.
He said, our pastor had just flown down from Denver, and he was there, and we had probably 15, 20 kids there with us, helping us with this. And we got everybody together there on the floor, and I said, and then it was translated by Benji, you know, if we just came and taught and showed you a little basketball, and we didn't really share with you the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, and that's where you're going to spend your eternity, then I don't know, you could say we really care about you. And I said, I want to share with you how I know I'm going to live with God and how you can know it too. And as soon as that was translated, I saw these college-age guys roll their eyes. And I thought, oh boy, they really don't want to be sitting here for this, but they're sitting right up front. And I started going through the gospel, and Benji's translating with us, and about halfway through, I didn't know what was going on outside, but I knew something was going on outside because they had glass all the way around this gymnasium, or it was kind of like a arena, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And we're down there on the floor and sharing, and we probably have 100 parents, you know, on the sidelines listening here. And it got loud, and it got so loud. I mean, even though I didn't speak Spanish, I was giving out the English as loud as I could give it. So Benji would give out the Spanish as loud as he could give it. And I saw our pastor trying to even scoop people in so they could hear. It was actually that distracting.
Wow.
And I finally got so frustrated, I said, listen, there is someone who does not want you to hear the message that we're telling you, because not only did it change my life, it can change your life. And about that time, I was sharing the gospel. I got to a part of the gospel that I said, what faith is, we talked about what it's not, but what it is when you transfer your trust from yourself to Jesus Christ alone to save you. And right when I'm ready to say Jesus Christ, kaboom, something hit that building.
Wow.
I never got Jesus Christ out at that point. The glass came flying in. People were screaming, and Pastor Greg, I can understand that in Spanish. And the wind was whipping through there, and it was totally pitch black.
Mm.
I couldn't see my hand from my face. I stood there, and I thought to myself, as I prayed to the Lord, I said, Lord, I cannot believe we have been shut out at the most important part of the gospel. But, oh, you of little faith, which should have been the message coming right back to me, because that darkness lasted probably about 2 to 3 minutes. It seemed like 10 to 15 to me. And I thought whenever any lights would come on, it would be a mess. And there was emergency power lights that shot on about 2 minutes in. It was weak, but you could still see. And no one was leaving. In fact, those college guys were right at my feet. Everybody was totally intent. So the first thing I said was, I told you somebody didn't want you to hear this. So we ended up sharing with them again that Jesus Christ is the only way a person can live with God. And there were a number that said, man, I need to make that decision in my life. And we only had about 7 minutes before all the lights shut off. And so it was really neat. We saw folks get saved with the light on, and then we did the discipleship in the dark. And the missionary had been out running some errands, and he came back. And as he came walking in, he said, Ken, what happened here? I said, you know, Brother Cochran, I don't know. I said, the power of God, I think, overcame the evil one is how I view it. And he goes, Ken, I've been here 28 years. He goes, there are news crews all over the place. Dust is swirling. There was no rain, but there was a huge lightning and windstorm that came through here. I mean, there's major signs down. There's damage all over this place. And we're walking on glass at that time. And he goes, and all this glass flew in. I said, yeah, it didn't hurt anybody. Mm. Amazing. Didn't hurt anyone.
Prince and power of the air, right?
Yeah, right. And so we went back, and man, you talk about teens praising God. They just saw. It was so obvious that Satan was trying to keep the message of the gospel from going forth.
Sure.
And they just saw come to life the passage where God says through John, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I mean, you talk about teenagers praising God. I mean, they saw the power of God firsthand that night. Well, the next morning, Ron Cochran, the missionary, came to me and he said, Ken, I watched this thing on the news last night. He said, it is incredible. He said, this storm came up out of nowhere. It started about 10 miles outside of Hermosillo, and they tracked it right to the University of Sonora. And he said, about 5 blocks after that, it dissipated and was totally gone.
My goodness.
He said, it was obvious that that windstorm was directed to where those people were hearing the gospel. And he said, man, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And he said, it's just a tremendous testimony again of the power of God. And every one of my teens, I tell you what, if I got those teens together and I said, what do you remember about your teen days in the youth group? That one story would come up, because they would say, I personally saw the hand of God overrule for the power of the gospel.
And when you see those kinds of things, you know there is a hand of God. I know Ruth and I had the opportunity to go to China a few years back. And we had the privilege of going up into a mountainous area where the people had never seen a white person. And they were checking us all out. But we took about 20 young college-age adults that our church was sponsoring in a Bible institute there in China. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, those students were in school. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they went to various villages and preached the gospel. This was the first time they'd ever been to this place. So they came in, introduced themselves, asked if they could hold a meeting, and they held the meeting in just an opening right next to the place where all of the idols were, where people went to worship their idols. Just as they were starting the meeting, all of the lights went out. And we thought, well, that'll be the end of that. Little did we know that the college students had brought a generator. So they immediately fired up the generator, and this then was the only light anywhere. And so people from all over the place started coming with flashlights just to find out what was going on where the only light was. And the gospel began to be preached, and it was just amazing. a drunk rode up on his motorcycle and tried to break the meeting up. The public address system got on fire. The evangelist stopped, went over, repaired it, came back. It started again. He picked up right where he left off. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how the folks responded when he said, if you'd like to hear more about this gospel of Jesus Christ, and if you would like us to come back, would you be willing to come and meet in a building here? And over half of the hands went up. Over 300 hands went up. We saw God do something just awesome in just an amazing way. Now, those are the kinds of things that only God can do.
Absolutely. I remember I had a group of teens that we were going to go to the island of St. Lucia. And I had some sponsors. They were very detailed, very organized, probably the most organized missions trip I've ever been on. But I just had a feeling God was going to teach us something because we depended a lot on our organizational ability. Well, sure enough, we got over there and we had nothing. Our luggage didn't show up. I mean, they did all of our food wasn't there. It was just one fiasco after another from probably the most well-organized trip I've ever been on.
Sure.
But I said, well, we need to start praying. We've got all the teens around, got our workers around, and I said, we need to start praying. And we started praying, and it ended up being just a wonderful experience for the kids, the sponsors. You know, we got our food, we got our luggage in time, and I had a young man that said, you know, I really believe God wants me to prepare for ministry, and he said it was that trip. He said, I actually listed 26 prayer requests that we had. I mean, urgent requests we needed God to do, and all 26 were answered. And, you know, when you see that and teens see that, or we go out to a place and it's pouring. I mean, how are we going to have a meeting or how are we going to be able to reach teenagers here when it's pouring?
Right.
And bring the kids in and said, well, you know what? We need to pray and we need to ask God to stop the rain so we can have this meeting. And then you see that God stops it and we have the meeting and the teens are like, we serve a huge and powerful and mighty God. And I go, we sure do. And I said, that same God that you're seeing work on this trip wants to work right where we live.
And it's so exciting because they've heard stories about adults and pastors that have answers to prayer, but they personally haven't ever seen anything like that. And boy, if you folks are listening to us there in your car, in your office, or in your home, if you have any opportunity to influence your church, to get your young people and get your folks on a mission field, use that influence. Because once they have seen what God can do, what a blessing it is just to be a part of seeing what God can do.
That's
and
right.
They will begin to discover, Pastor Ken, like you and I have, that God is not just doing some good things. God's doing some amazing things all around the world.
That's right.
And that's the exciting part of it. Till the next time, we pray God's richest blessings upon you.